Thanks for tuning in to your Day Off Podcast, hosted by your boys, Corey and Tony.
I think by the end of today, I might have another best friend.
They're committed to making you fall in love with the hair industry, one podcast at a time.
You're going to grab a lot of information.
Yeah, you're going to learn a lot.
Presented by Hairdistry.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Your Day Off Podcast will begin after a word from our sponsors.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My name is Corey, and guess what? I'm here solo today. Well, sort of solo today. So Tony is in Iceland, and while we're here live at Premier Orlando. So I've made this request every time. Please DM Tony and tell him he sucks for not being here. But he's in Iceland this weekend because his son graduated college, and that was his college goodbye. So listen, a few minutes ago, I was on the Babelous stage and
Babelous.
How can we never get that?
I don't know. I've only started saying it right as of today because of a meeting we had before.
They're like,
you guys better say it right.
So the voice you're hearing is Jacob Kahn, and Jacob Kahn was also on the Babelous. Did I get it? Babelous.
Yes, you nailed
Babelous
it.
Stage with me, and we just did the Pocky One Chip Challenge, and we're just gonna kind of like. I was going to say fall from it, but I guess it's the opposite of fall from it. But we're just going to kind of recount what just happened, and then we'll be sure to put a video up with this pod. So, Jacob, how you feeling, bro?
You know, I'm starting to feel better. my like chest and everything is sort of where I'm having it now. It's like I've got like a massive heartburn, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But those first 30 minutes after doing it is just incredibly painful.
Well, your eyes were watering for 30 minutes.
Oh,
like I
they
went
were.
About 10 minutes where my eyes were watering, but you just kept giving it.
My eyes were like fully red. All the liquid in my head came out of my head.
Yeah, it certainly did. And we were walking here, and there was people in the hallways taking pictures with Jacob. And those are going to be the worst. Oh, my God. We got to see those posts.
I cannot wait to see these, because I'm literally getting stomped as we come out, which is always very flattering. But I'm like, yes. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm like trying to smile, and like my nose is just like dripping snot.
How many people just thought you smoked weed or something? Your eyes are watering, they're big and red.
They're like, that's like the first time meeting me. Like, oh, I didn't expect him to be. Like, I guess the internet, you know. Things are always different in life. You never want to meet your heroes.
No, you never want to. You never want to meet your sweaty heroes.
They're gross in real life.
they are. I didn't expect to like sweat as much. Like my body. Like I expected the head a little bit, but like my body was.
It
sweating
is a
too.
Weird thing that it's like even though it is, it's not like even about temperature. It's like something about. Like flavor or whatever, but it does raise your core temperature enough to make you like physically sweat. Like the whole thing of it, like, you know, your eyes watering, it coming out of your nose. It's because it's like pepper. It's like, yeah. You know, I'm literally describing it. It feels like getting pepper sprayed in the mouth or something.
Yeah, that's a good call there. Somebody was, it might have been you, somebody was making me laugh on stage, and then that hurt so bad. Like just laughing was hurting. And I was
trying
like,
to make it like, because it's sort of like we eat it up there, and then we're all just standing there being like, this sucks.
What? Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, what are we doing up here? So I was trying to talk to the audience as much as possible to make it fun or make it funny for them, right. You know, like cracking jokes. But I didn't even know what the setup was going to be. At first, I didn't know you were eating it too, and I thought it was just me. Eating it up there, and I was just going to eat it.
You know what?
Like,
I wish I knew that.
This is horrible. Yeah, you could have gotten out of it.
I could have totally
I did not
out.
Even expect you to eat it at all. I thought that you were going to eat it and then, like, ask me questions or I was going to have to do a haircut or something
like
that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do it until I had it in my mouth. Because Desi from Babelous, did I get it?
Nice,
nailed it?
Nice.
Nailed it. From Babelous, she was like, I didn't know you were doing it. I was like, I didn't have to do this at all. Nobody knew I was doing it.
Yeah, truly. No, none of us knew that you were also eating it.
Except for Emily, because Emily's the hero of the day because she got us
some milkshakes.
The milkshakes.
You have to have it, I mean.
And who was the guy? I'm brain farting. Who was the guy that was up with us?
You know, I just met him today, actually. So Is his name? Shit. No, the guy Jay was the guy that was
Jay
that
Majors
was
that MC'd it, right?
Yeah. He was just calling up everybody from over there. It was like the person that was MC, he didn't even know that we were doing it. He was like thinking that some other guy from Babylon was doing it. He's like, he kept on saying Jake from State Farm was going to
do it.
Yeah,
Jake from State Farm. Is there a barber named Jake?
Apparently. I mean, I haven't met him, but that Jake from State Farm joke, it's not even a joke because it's not funny. But that has followed me around ever since that commercial has come out.
What has to?
Everyone's like, your name's Jake.
Jake from State
Let me just stop it. They're like, they've got it like cocked and ready.
You
they're
can
like,
never wear a red shirt.
They're like, from State Farm? And I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
No.
Did you know? I'm going to call out like Babelus.
You did.
Babelus. But I almost slipped up.
And it's like, I think they should just change it to Babylus at this point.
They should not just care.
This is the way really we all say
as long
it.
As we're talking about it, who cares?
Yeah, they'll know.
Whatever.
They'll know.
So, you know, we kind of have to call up the barbers, though, Jake, because, like...
They didn't do it?
No, there was no barbers up there.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of hairstylists up there. So what's up with Babelus? Well, Jay Majors was up there, but he refused to do it.
Did he refuse the guy that was emceeing, like you offered to have him do it as well? I didn't know that you had another one to hand out to
somebody. I had three, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were going to do it with Ben, and then Ben had that class. Yeah. Somebody scheduled that class, so he didn't have to do it.
I mean, I actually scheduled the class, but... I wasn't like thinking about it because I would have much rather at least had him there, you know, so they could see it. I was also happy to see that it was so jam packed full of people because if it was not full, if it was just like a few people, it was like six people watching, I'd be like, what have we done? Why did we do this? You know, but it was fully packed, like people standing in the back, like every single seat and their faces looking at us like with just concern and anguish. Yeah, they're just, it was like, I was like, are they enjoying it?
You know, when I sat down in the chair there, I was like looking at people that were like, the front row was like 3 feet from me. And I was literally like getting nauseous. And I was like, that's probably the worst seat in the house.
I think something about your beard disguises like the pain that you were in.
I was in pain.
Yeah, because when you look at you, you couldn't tell exactly, you know. But when you look at me,
my eyes were watering and like all that stuff.
You're like pretty composed or whatever. I'm like rocking back and forth and like speaking in tongues, and all of a sudden I'm like able to speak other languages only shortly, you know.
Dude, this is awesome because the last time that I did this, I did it with Richie the barber, and he's saved now. So now you're speaking in tongues, and now you're clearly saved.
Is that what saved him?
I think so. I think it's the one chip challenge.
I watched that video of him doing that, or like clips of him doing that, and he, when you talk about sweating, he was sweating bullets. He looked like he was in the most anguish, and that was like stressing me out, you know, like seeing him do it too. Because when I did it earlier in the week to prepare myself, like attempting to do it earlier.
You did a full chip?
I did a half of a chip. I split it with somebody, and doing a half, it definitely was not as bad as doing the whole thing. And I don't understand, like, you know, it's the same thing, it's just more, but more of it, I guess, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like taking, here's this much poison, and you just like double the dose of poison that you had. But I didn't expect it to be more painful, but it definitely was, for sure.
I think that because the chip is so, at least with my experience, the chip was so big that I dried out. So if I did half, I might have had like more fluid to get it down. But because I did the whole thing, like my whole mouth is dry, and like I'm sure if we look at the video, I'm sure I chewed for at least a minute.
You have to chew try to so get it long. Down.
Yeah.
And for me, the moment that it gets bad is the moment that I swallow. The moment it goes down is, for some reason, it just like it kicks in. And I always go like, and I'm like, well, shouldn't have done that.
No.
As soon as you clear your throat, it's like you're just grinding all that up in your throat. It was absolutely horrible.
The other experience that I don't remember from the first time that I did it is that it got worse, right? Like you think like
it
once
builds.
You get it down, like you're like, oh, okay, well, it's down, that's it. But then it like it gets worse and gets worse and gets worse. And then like it was worse at the 5 minute mark than by far than the 1 minute
the two.
Mark.
Yeah, it definitely builds on you. But I was proud of us. I thought we did pretty good being able to last 5 minutes without, like, having any water or having anything like that. I watched Tony Hawk do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the guy.
Did he do it with Sean Evans?
Yes, he did it with a guy from Hot Ones. And they were at least Tony Hawk was, like, drinking something right away, it seemed like, you know?
Oh, that's soft.
But it said that we had to make it 10 minutes to be powerful is like, the grading curve on there.
Uh-huh.
So apparently we were powerless still.
Well, what was 5 minutes?
I thought it should have a five-minute marker. It had 1 and 10. So 1 was powerless, 10. I'm stopping this in mid-sentence right now because the taste of this chip has just, like, come from the inside of me and is in my mouth. And like you were saying, like, you're not only just getting the spice, but you're getting this like foul, like horrible chemical chip flavor as well. And just every once in a while, I'm like taking a breath and going like, oh God, what is that? This is so nasty, man. And like your body's reaction to putting it in your mouth is to gag because it's so dry and it tastes so bad. And you're and like you have some intuition, you know, that's like, oh, that's poison.
Yeah.
Like I shouldn't eat that. So you're like, my biggest worry was that I was going to throw up on stage.
That was my worry.
Because I couldn't swallow it or something. I wanted to like wash it down. But
my biggest fear was that I was going to throw up on people in the front row because we were not that far from them. And like, I'm sure that's if true. It went, it was going to go.
Turns into a Gallagher show all of a sudden.
Exactly. Without the mallet.
Everyone's wearing little ponchos.
Splash zone. Splash zone.
It's like a Guar concert or something.
Yeah. The chip tastes a little bit like, I don't know, a dirty sock or something.
It does.
Like,
there's nothing redeeming about it.
No.
It's just bad.
You put some like Dorito.
Have you heard, people have said that like it is almost has a hallucinogenic quality to it. Like if let's say that we didn't drink anything or whatever and we just sat there and we took it. And not in a necessarily like a positive way or whatever, but not like, I'm microdosing, you know, the one chip challenge. Like nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
But that just something like about spice can take you to this point where it's like your vision is a little blurry. You're getting
well,
like
my eyes were watering, of course. My.
Well, yeah, from that. But you're supposed to even like get like a little traily and like just sort of be sort of like out of your mind a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if I got to my mind because everything below my mind. In so much pain, you know?
So if you eat two or three of those, it's the same thing as like doing DMT and you meet some God figure or something.
Have you done DMT?
I have.
And?
I did not, meet this. I love this podcast. But I did not meet, people who really do a lot of it in like one sitting. They say that you sort of drop out and you get to this point. So many different people have said that they get to this point where they are communicating with some sort of like Godhead, where they feel like they are meeting this like this source of all or whatever. I did not have that, but I did have sort of like out of body experience where everything in the room became very geometric and sort of broke down like a kaleidoscope, and I sort of lost my sense of self for a little bit, and then I came back out of it.
Like elves or anything like that.
No, I mean if anything, it was like completely abstract for me. And it was very short-lived. But, it's like I didn't.
But could you tell, because I've also heard that there's no time, like you can't register time.
It felt like it was a million years. And then I'm asking people, I was like with a bunch of friends in a room, and they were all like, and that was like 2 minutes or 3 minutes or something like that.
So you didn't have a shaman or anything?
No, Ben? I had a dude named Sean.
Sean the shaman?
He likes Dave Matthews, if that's, that's kind of close to being a shaman, right?
I'm interested in it because of the short lived of it. Like, I'm not interested in like a 4 day trip on acid.
You're sober, right?
Yeah.
For how long?
1999.
Yeah, so no DMT for you, sir. I think it might take you down a whole path you don't want to go. It's not worth. I mean,
but it's not recreational, so maybe it'd be okay.
I think if let's say that you maybe
that's the brain
you,
of an
you
addict,
go to Peru or something and you do like ayahuasca with a shaman or something like that. Like people are
doing
but
that. Ayahuasca, like don't you shit yourself and stuff?
No, you do purge.
Have
a
you done
bit.
Ayahuasca?
I mean, this is just going to turn into me just listing off all the drugs that I've done. Well, we'll say that that I'm familiar with what happens when you take ayahuasca.
Oh, fair.
And
I listen to a lot of podcasts too.
Yeah, and it you do purge, and I would suggest that you fast before you do it. But you're going to be purging not from the bottom; it's from the top. So you're going to be vomiting a good bit. But you know,
that sounds appealing.
Like people are doing this sort of thing to get off of doing drugs. You know, if like you, like people who are having a hard time like kicking heroin or something like that, they're going and they're doing this ayahuasca ceremony and like something about it is like resetting your internal functions so that you can actually separate yourself from the addiction. So maybe you could do that. I'm your sponsor now.
which is not a good idea at all. I'll take it, Jacob.
I'd like to clarify as well that I don't do any of these things anymore. You know.
Well, hey, listen, we all have a past.
Yeah.
Even if that pass was 20 minutes ago.
I got sent to like wilderness program and all that stuff.
No, really?
Yeah. I went full Paris Hilton. Mine was in the North Georgia mountains, but they're all over there like that. But yeah, because I was, you know, partying too hard, doing crazy things, you know, all this stuff was like happening like when I was in high school.
Right.
You know, before it was like before Joe Rogan.
Before Rogan, were...
I was doing it before Joe Rogan.
You're doing it before Rogan. our friend Patty, Queen of the South, she did like a wilderness thing in Utah.
Did she really? Yeah. Oh, I will definitely have to ask her. She braids?
Yeah, the braider.
I've got to talk to her about that. It's
fascinating. She's got a fascinating story. It's not like this. It was a lot of those places in Utah, they ended up being like a shit show.
Yeah.
You know, and that
mine
that,
was. Mine shut down now. The place that I went, it's no longer open because of the abuse of the kids there.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure that that Patty's was too. She was in St. George. I believe it was in St. George. Mm-hmm. But there's a braider named Coco too. And coincidentally, ironically,
two incredible braiders have both went to this.
And they met there.
No way, really?
They met in the
they started braiding each other's hair.
That's probably the
it's
story.
It's a lot like
there.
Prison. That's how you become the best braider.
you have to go to
wilderness program in Utah.
In Utah, yeah, to be the
best.
I'll
definitely have to ask her about that because I don't meet a lot of other people who have had that experience, and it's pretty wild, you know. Yeah. Like the thing, you know.
How
I
long
was
your wilderness?
I was there for 6 months. No running water, no electricity. Living in the woods. The only electricity we had was we had a cabin out there that there was like 15 of us that stayed in this cabin. Just it was all only thing that was in there was bunk beds. And they had a car battery that they would hook to the cabin so that there could be lights in the cabin if we needed the lights.
They were dim, too.
Yeah, but besides that, no electricity out there. And, you know, even, like, the bathroom and stuff, we had to dig and build an outhouse and, like, put the outhouse on there. But you had to also, like, earn privileges. So it's like you I was never allowed to dig because I was not there long enough to earn the right to hold a shovel, you know? And, like, a kid that was there long enough to like get shovel privileges, first thing that he did was clock the counselor with the shovel. And he took off into the woods. But we're many, many miles away from anything.
It's called wilderness.
Yeah, so it's like, he's like, I'm going to use the stars. I mean, I don't know what he thought he was going to do. But they end up finding him like 3 days later, like luckily, because this
mauled
kid would have died in the woods or whatever. And there is like the closest town. You know, they know that the wilderness program is you know, miles and miles into the woods. So if you do happen to get to this town and you're just like some like filthy kid coming out of the woods, they know exactly who you are.
You're not in like orange like jumpsuits or anything?
No, you're wearing your regular clothing, actually. Like they let you wear your clothes. You know, we just like, packed our clothes and everything. Actually, they made me, you know, at the time I was wearing a lot of eyeliner, a lot of makeup. I was wearing like girls' jeans because I wanted the jeans to be fitted and tight, and they didn't make like fitted guys' jeans at the time, or at least like weren't without spending like crazy expensive money on it. And they made me like, of course, I couldn't wear any of the makeup, had to take all that off. They went and like bought me like baggy, ridiculous like JNCO jeans that I had to wear because they were like, you know, you can't wear this. They're like stripping you of your identity, like breaking you all the way down that way, you know. But if you get to the town, they just immediately, the town people just immediately go like, hey, yeah, we got one. you want to come pick this kid up? They just call him right away, and you're just right back.
So if anyone's wearing JNCO jeans, they
if you're a filthy little beast coming out of the woods, they send you right back to the program.
So if you went there long enough for a shovel, like how'd you get out of it?
My insurance ran out. Yeah, that's the only reason. It was a 2-year program. I should have been there for 2 years, and I would have turned 18, and like that's when I would have been able to go home. You know. But my parents, of course, you know, we didn't have any money or anything growing up.
Right.
And I got expelled from high school, like, for fighting. And when I got expelled...
No scrappy jig.
Yeah. Back then, you know, I don't fight anymore. You know, if I can help it, I don't fight anymore. Back then, it's like you almost... It was so weird, like, the thought of, like, leaving the house. I almost felt like I was... If I left the house, it was inevitable. Like, this was going to happen.
Uh-oh.
I think it's because I was growing up in, you know... Rural Georgia is a town called Cumming, spelled Cumming, Cumming, Georgia, you know, not exactly progressive. And I was just a young punk, you know, wearing makeup, and I was getting like gay bashed. And I'm not gay, but like, you know, everyone just calling me gay, giving me shit for it or whatever, mm-hmm. like trying to fight me all the time. And, you know, so I just like was getting in a lot of fights for that. And I just wasn't one to be like, yeah, you can just like make fun of me, and I won't do anything. I was like, I'll hit you with a book or something. You know? I was just a crazy
shovel.
Kid, you know, just like much different now. If you meet me now, it's like I'm like so chill. I feel like, but back then, it's like I felt like I was the outcast in this like redneck community, like the one punk kid amongst all these like kids who had like lifted trucks. And it was like the school I went to a lot of them had money, like they had a lot of money, and I was like latchkey. My mom was a overnight nurse at the ER. Like, she would do the 7 to 7 shift, like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift, you know. My dad, like, my parents were divorced, you know, so my dad was sometimes there, sometimes not there. We had no money, and I'm walking to school. You know, I had a few-mile walk back and forth from high school.
Uphill both ways, barefooted?
Yeah, barefoot in the snow, you know. But no, I mean, I did. I had to walk to school, and these kids would drive by. They had lifted trucks with PA systems, you know, and they would, like, just be yelling stuff at me through the PA. They'd be flicking cigarettes at me and everything. So I would just, like, huck a rock through somebody's windshield, and then, like, six freaking rednecks get out of a truck, and I'm like, great.
It's not makeup, that's black eyes.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, at least I don't have to do my eyeshadow today, you know? Blue's a nice shade for me.
I'm sure the name Khan didn't hurt or help either.
They weren't smart enough to realize that I was half Pakistani. Like, they, and also I am very white passing. So it's like nobody really realizes, you know, unless they see my dad or, like, see my cousins or something like that. So I never really got any trouble for being Muslim. No one gave me any trouble for that, you know. But again, it's like they weren't bred enough to realize that, you know, right. They couldn't figure it out.
Did you grow up Muslim?
Yeah, we were. My family was not, like, super religious, but my extended family is really religious. But my dad and my mom weren't. But my mom did convert when she married my dad
to Islam.
Yeah. And they had a Muslim wedding and everything. And when we were young, it was, like, a lot more part of our life. And then as we got older, like, they sort of, like, my dad was like, yeah, I'm Muslim. And he's, like, drinking a beer. I'm like, yeah, you know, you're
not. We know them.
I had this funny moment where we'd have all the uncles and aunties would come over to the house and everything all the time. And my dad would hide his, like, alcohol in the freezer. And this will give you this will timestamp this, because he had hidden a bunch of Zimas.
Oh, yeah.
In the freezer. And I totally screwed him over, because they're all, like, hanging out in the living room or whatever. And I'm, like, in elementary school. And I go and I open the freezer, and they fall out and, like, smash all over the ground. And they all come in, and they all see that there's just broken alcohol bottles all over the kitchen. And I totally outed him to the rest of the family by accident.
He didn't blame it on you? Jacob, well, you're drinking again.
I didn't even, at the time, I didn't realize, like, the significance of what I had done. You know,
oh, man.
That it was like, this is going to be a serious problem, you know, but whatever.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah. I'm like, you got to be honest with yourself. It's not my fault he was lying to them.
Exactly.
I was a child, so.
Exactly. Not my fault. Don't blame it on me. Don't blame it on me.
Now my dad is remarried. He's in an arranged marriage now to someone who is also Pakistani. And I have two little sisters that are full-blooded Pakistani that are 18 and 15.
Oh,
so
cool.
He's going through it again, yeah.
Did he get, is he more religious now?
No.
So his freezer still filled with Zimas?
He's more of a room temperature vodka kind of guy these days. But yeah, he's definitely not religious now. But his like, brother is, and sister is, and, like, the entire, like, end of the family is.
Did he immigrate from here?
Yeah, for college. He came over around that time, which is where he met my mom. You know, and he was actually supposed to be in arranged marriage then. He was supposed to go to college, go back, and marry someone there and join the Pakistani Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
But his vision wasn't good enough to join, so he didn't know what he was going to do going back. And then he met my mom, decided to stay. And then there was, like, a huge issue. Like, he didn't speak to that side of the family because he was marrying my mom. Like, there was no communication with that side of the family for, like, a decade or something.
Mm.
At least this is, like, what he tells me, you
right.
know. And then when we were born, I guess it they reconnected. But a lot of them lived in Karachi forever. You know, uh-huh. in Pakistan forever. It wasn't until, you know, more recent years, like the last decade or so, that some of them have moved to Dubai or moved to England or moved to Canada. And so my dad was one of the only ones that stayed. And then his brother eventually moved here too. But
have you been to Pakistan?
I have. I've been like maybe 9 times.
Oh, really?
A lot of times, yeah. I was living in Dubai, you know. After I got out
really?
Of wilderness,
uh-huh.
I was expelled from school.
And wilderness.
Yeah, if I was expelled from school, I could not afford wilderness program anymore, thank God. You know, right. I was so excited when they came to tell me. Like, we had to, like, do... Sorry, I'm like, my insides are on fire. My, like, it's
the
getting...
The point of the podcast.
Like, it's weird because we were talking about a building, and, like, as we're talking, like...
You're turning a little
something
red.
On the inside of me is just starting to hurt more and more. Like, it really does not feel good. But, yeah, so I was so happy to find out I was getting sent home, because in my mind, I had a year and a half left. I hadn't even earned a day pass. Like, you could earn a day pass home. Eventually, you could go home for, like, a day.
Because you were being a dick or just didn't have enough time in?
I just had enough time, you know? They, like, want you to do all this counseling and go through all this stuff and whatever. There was this one kid that was there because he was a pyro.
Oh, nice roommate.
Yeah. He just burned everything. So he never got fire privileges, of course, there. But he did earn a day pass home, like a weekend pass. And what does he do?
No.
He sets the freaking carpet on fire when he goes home. And then his excuse was that he said he was trying to teach his little brother about fire safety. I'm like, bro, you're here because you burn stuff, man. You got to be better about
fire
it.
Fire safety.
Yeah. But yeah, so when I got out of there, I had my senior year and everything left to do. So my dad got a job in Dubai and asked me if I wanted to go. And I was like, yeah, might as well go. It was either that or go to like weird alternative school,
right,
you know, in Georgia, which I did do for a semester where it was like just 14 of us or something that went to this like school for kids who got expelled, you know.
Did you go to high school in Dubai?
Yeah, yeah. I had my senior year there at the Universal American School of Dubai.
That's pretty cool. Mm. Do you, do you speak Arabic or does,
No, my dad speaks Urdu and English, but he didn't teach it to us growing up. So we don't speak it.
And Urdu, is that closer to Farsi or?
It's like a mixture of Hindi and makes Arabic, sense. I would say. It's like a mixture of different languages that, you know, it became like sort of general Pakistani language.
I thought they spoke Arabic there.
I mean, but some Pakis speak Arabic. My dad like has a rough understanding and everything of Arabic, mm-hmm. but really it's Urdu would be the language, yeah.
Right. And
less Arab, more South Asian. So.
Right. Right.
Oh, jeez.
You're dying?
Yeah, dude. My insides are just on fire.
Should we put the mic on your insides?
It's not making any sounds, but it feels like it's just like been burned. I'm trying to stretch it out.
Is that working?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Temporarily it is. Golly. Oh,
I think I'm done for a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully I meet you there because I've got about 20 minutes, I got to prep a model. So
you're gonna be on stage?
Well, in an hour, gotta be on stage, but I gotta go like do a little bit of prep or whatever in a half.
You gotta reference it when you get up there. All right, we can pull out here, man. Dude, thank you. Well, first off, thank you, thank you very much.
This got deep. I think eating the chip opened me up to just like saying all sorts of very personal things about myself.
you know, there's something to that, and I'm not bullshitting because one, Sean Evans is the expert at this, right? Sean Evans, the host of
he makes you you're just like open to saying whatever now.
But have you ever noticed that like the better questions happen when people are burning up?
Yeah, yeah. Because he's building them up at the end.
He's building them up, and like, and what happens is all the PR bullshit goes out the window, and they're just that person in pain.
Yeah.
Right there, you know.
So they can't think to censor themselves. You just say whatever.
Exactly.
It's like as I'm doing this, I'm literally like writhing right now.
Are you?
Like, yeah, I don't know what has happened.
There's a bathroom around the corner.
It's not even that. It's just like something. It's made it to a certain point through my system that it's like not. My body's like, no, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
You're good. Awesome. Well, dude, thank you for doing that. That was a lot of fun. It was kind of fun to do it on the stage. Like we planned to just kind of do it here just to be goofballs, but then, Emily.
Stage is fun. Yeah.
The stage was fun. I think it made it a little bit easier being on stage because you had to stay somewhat composed.
Yeah, you did. Like, I think like having all the people there and everything.
And rooting you on.
Not quite as bad. Yeah. Right? We were getting their energy. They were building us up.
Yeah, they definitely were. And thanks to Jay. Thank you, Emily. Thanks,
Babelus.
Babelus. Damn it. I'm going to mess it up all the time. Thank you, Babelus, for having us. Jake, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for telling us about your hot stories. Exactly. Thanks for being hot for me.
Oh, I appreciate it. Awesome. Thanks for having me on, man. It's always a blast.
Always, always, always. And thank you for joining us on your day off.
All right, salute. Let's go. Who's going to count us down? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Let's go. Hold on. Can you bring It's Getting Hot in Here by Nelly up, please? I guess.
The worst part is you can't swallow.
I'm not even going to get fired today.
No.
We're going to just leave it right here on stage.
Oh my gosh.
How is it? How's it got? Are we doing?
Are we blue?
How you feeling?
My hot shit.
Okay. Here you go. It's great here.
Woo!
Oh my god.
Nice. Nice. Water does not help.
No, it doesn't.
Just letting you know. It makes it worse.
It always starts to get worse and worse. I'm just gonna meditate through it.
Yes. Nice. Oh, you're gonna sit down for this one.
I was like,
look how red he's from. The carnival cowboy hat is not helping this.
It's very, very bad. Physical pain.
It Is it like in the chest?
It's in the back of the throat. It feels like I got pepper sprayed in my mouth.
You win a free clipper from Fabulous. It's already at 3,000 of them.
Do I get a free clipper too? I'm so happy that there's so many of you here for this.
This may be the splash zone.
I thought it was just going to be me up here. I'm crying tears of joy.
3 minutes, 17 seconds.
Here we go.
That's what I have. Anyone else? What do you have? It's time. 3 minutes.
Ow.
I have 3 minutes.
No, don't give up. Don't give up.
Oh, we need do you want to get a haircut while you're doing a hot chip job?
I need the cryo brush. That's what the cryo brush was made for.
David,
you about
literally
what that
are
does?
Definition of hot.
It's for this.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
He's got his bowling shirt on.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I've seen people way worse. You guys are doing pretty good.
Well, look how many people are here.
It only gets worse.
Oh, my God. It doesn't get better.
Yeah. What are we with the time? What's our timing?
For those of you that are just walking up, they're not reacting from a bad haircut. We're doing the hot chip challenge that you've seen online.
Oh, man. Are we at 5 minutes?
He's crying. We're not at 5 minutes.
Holy Christ. 2:10.
2 minutes, 8 seconds. No pressure, though. 2 minutes left.
What?
That's it. 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Any other hot songs related to hot?
In the history of bad decisions.
Does anyone have any questions for us?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any questions from the audience?
What's my sign, maybe?
Yeah.
It's a 14 million.
Anyone have any questions for anybody up here?
Spicy anyone? Things are
raise
rated.
Your hand.
The unit of measurement for spices is called a Scoville. Tabasco is about 1,000 Scoville.
Dave is dying.
Chip is 3
You're playing it really
Scoville.
Cool.
It starts to hurt here.
1 minute, 15 seconds left.
Oh my God. So yeah, it's like if Tabasco's 1,000, this is rated at 3 million Scoville.
Yeah,
very, very spicy.
Woo! I can feel the radiation.
He's sweating. He's sweating.
Oh, yeah. I know I'm so red.
He's sweating like Joe Biden in a team pageant.
My vision.
Oh, did I say that loud?
My vision is a little
blurry.
We don't want to get political up here.
Sorry. I would think at this point it'd get better. It's not better at all.
No.
40 seconds.
Yeah, 40 seconds. You're about there. You're the
all of the liquids are coming out of my face.
I think we need like a 20 second countdown.
This is great. No one threw up yet.
We have made it to a high level right now. If you last 1 minute, you're powerless. If you last as long as us, you're powerful. So, thank you. I guess.
David needs to blow his nose. Oh. Can we get him some tissues?
9.
Don't blow your nose.
7.
It goes into
6.
Your nose.
5. 4. 3. 2. 1. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up. All right.
Don't have water.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, share it with friends, give us a rating, and drop a review. To listen to all the latest podcasts, please subscribe from your favorite podcast outlet. And to stay connected on and off the show, you can follow us at Hairdistry on Instagram and all other social media platforms. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time. Peace and love.